Mr. Hodge, Real 7. We were talking about you'd gone to Singapore, and you were just, when we were interrupted, you were telling me how you saw a motorboat approaching. Could you tell us what happened?
Yeah, well, it came. The motorboat came up alongside, and up the gangway came General Itajaki and Admiral Fujidan. They were the heads ashore. They came on to sign the occupation or surrender. But what made me wild was they were crying tears of mortification as they come on board. You know, we were there 10 days before they were cutting those Australians' heads off in the camps. And because he said he would never surrender, that general. And we had to surrender. The next day we proceeded into Singapore Harbour, where we tied up alongside the jetty. Landing parties went ashore and relieved Japs that were there of their guns and swords. Then arrangements were made for our prisoners of war. All the stops were pulled out so they could have fresh bread, food, with the supply ships coming in. And the Sussex and Cleopatra were making bread as fast as they could, so they got fresh bread. Walking prisoners were made welcome on board, and we gave all... I'll show you a little what's the name of that in a minute, as you want to see. Prisoners were made welcome on board, and we gave all the excess clothing to them, and they were grateful to see us.
What state were they in?
Very poor state. I mean, as I say, it was like Belson. You know, chaps, very thin, not hardly any flesh on them. But they managed to walk down and got to the ship to see us.
What next, then?
The severe prisoners were brought on by lorries down to the jetty, where we laid them on the jetty, ready for the hospital ships to pick them up. They came in the next day. I shan't forget those poor chaps, the same as in, they come out of Belson camps, you know, skin and bones. Mountbatten came on board the next day.
What do you remember of that? Cause
well, he only came up the gangway, jumped up on the winch, and had a little chat with us, thanking us for what we'd done and all that sort of thing. I can't
informal?
Or yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, we was all lined up. He said, come round, you know. I just wanted to chat and thank us.
What impression did he make on you?
He did impress me. I thought he was a very good admiral. I mean, he backed the war cabinet in England, and he got what he wanted. I mean, there was an invasion ready, and they had everything laid on for that. Oh no, he impressed me very. In fact, I've been down to his home, you know, quite a few times. You know, down at in Kent.
Got the name of it.
Yeah.
Just visiting.
Yeah, I visited two or three times, and I used to take the coach to go down to the Abbey. He's buried in the Abbey there, and I took flowers down, and I've seen a couple of his old shipmates have been down as well from the Kelly and that. I'm surprised he's buried in the floor there. I thought he'd be on a plinth, you know, like the others. Yeah. No, I've been there a couple, because I did admire that man.
Now, next thing is you went ashore to line the route on a sort of parade thing. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the next day, the day after that, we was all picked to go on guard duty on the route where the Japs were going to come up. I was on the bottom of the steps of the main building there. And Mountbatten was inside taking the surrender of the Japs. The Japs came up, had to get out of the cars and walk the last 200 or 300 yards so the crowds can boo and shout and whatever you had them. I mean, I couldn't understand Chinese. I didn't know what they were shouting. But after that, Mountbatten came out and stood out on the pleaded outside because the square was all lined up with our soldiers and sailors and all that, and he took the salute there, and then we made our own way back to the ship.
There was an incident while you were lining the thing with the Chinese man. Can you tell us that?
I didn't put that out. I don't know what was in there. There was a jump behind me. Something sharp was coming into my back, and I took umbrage at it, and I said to my mate, let go of my rifle. This was hand-to-hand rifles. I said, let go of my rifle for a second, will you? Because I've turned it round and jabbed it behind me to give the chap the warning behind me to keep off me. And I felt sorry for him afterwards. I looked, he was trying to take photographs. So I said to him, I'm right out of the way. I said, get down. And I opened my legs up. I'm sorry, I let him take photographs through my legs. Because from when we broke up, he waited for us. And he took us to his, he had a restaurant there. Three nice daughters there, four nice daughters. They looked after us, so we saw him and went to his place. Yeah, I forgot all about that, and I put it in there.
Now, the next thing, I think, was you were mobilised to go to Java.
I'd heard up that while I was in Singapore, that my demob number was up in England.
Were you looking forward to being demobbed? I mean...
Oh, yeah. I'd had enough of it. Oh, yeah. I thought, well, I'm off to England now. But, as I thought, no. The sausage was ordered to Indonesia. We ended up in Surabaya. As far as we know, the Dutch wanted the islands back. On arrival, 30 of us were detailed to hold the docks. I was taken off the sausage, put on a motorboat, and taken ashore to hold the docks because the rebels and that were all there. Still fighting the shore, and we heard that the Japs were sort of training them.
So where were you then?
Well, we went into the dockyard itself. We found a couple of bungalows, billeted ourselves on the bungalows, and sort of went all through, right through the warehouses, looking for anybody about. And we found quite a load of stuff, like revolvers and there were stacks of revolvers, German Lugers, as though they'd been tipped out of a lorry, in a heap. We didn't want them because they're no good to us, there was no ammunition. Well, in the next one, there was Japanese uniforms, hats, helmets. I brought some home for my father, just so he could have souvenir of them. Yeah, and then...
any food, cigarettes, food?
Cigarettes were terrible. There's stacks of cigarettes, crates of cigarettes, and I tried them. Terrible. I don't know more. Old socks, I think, when you smoke their cigarettes.
No. What about booze or food?
No, there's no booze or food there. It's just more like uniforms and shoes. Beautiful shoes they used to wear. I didn't know their boots, what they were. A very soft leather. Beautiful boots. I bought a pair around for my dad, couldn't find a pair that fit me. it's beautiful.
Now, there'd been some firing. Can you tell us about that? From a machine gun and an aircraft intervened. What about that story?
Oh, yeah, there's a machine gun, on top of a load of shops there. But we see this plane go over, and he really done a pinpoint job, because when we went into town, we found that the two walls each side were still standing straight. He'd done a pinpoint where this machine gun nest was. But there wasn't a lot of opposition there. We went into town, as a China, the rebels have started fires, started to burn the town up, sort of thing, especially in the Chinese quarter. And we were guarded along the roads by some of our chaps were putting the fires out.
Were you doing that, or were you guarding them?
I was guarding. I was going from shop to shop, diving in this shop and out that shop, you know, because they warned us that the snipers were all about there. So we weren't stopping too in one place too long. We kept moving and that. So once we got the fires under control, we sort of got our lorry, which was parked down on the main square, Indian driver, to get us back to the docks.
What was the Sussex doing?
The Sussex opened up with 8-inch guns while we was going up the road, and I tell you what, they were so low, we were ducking. The shells were so divine on them, we wondered what it was. Then we tumbled. There was our own 8-inch shells going over us. But she softened them up for us, because they withdrew out the town and that, and so we was left to put the fires out. They warned us about the snipers. We were glad to put the fires out and retreat to the dock area. When we got back to the docks, we found out hundreds of refugees all coming down.
Where were these? Were they Indonesian or Javanese?
Indonesian.
And what were they flying from?
From the rebels. The rebels and the Japs that was with them. We put them all into the empty warehouses. And the next day, the ships came in, and we to take them to safety. I don't know where they took them to, but we marched them all over to the ships and got them on board and that. And while we was going down, we see that our troops arrive. I think it's the
King. What do you remember of that?
Well, I was very happy to see them, because I didn't want to be stuck with just 30 men with all the rebels around us. And it was the King's Royal Rifles, I think it was, and the Gurkhas arrived. Of course, then we were subject to be put on a scrap heap then, because we weren't wanted then. So we made our way down to the docks, got together, and thought, well, we'd better get back to the Sussex. So down we go to the harbour. When we get there, there's no Sussex. She had gone up further up the island, and we're taking the surrender up at Sarawang, I think it was called, Sarawang. Because we were stuck in Surabaya. Anyway, after arguments and getting togethers, we thought, we got some officers that had come ashore from destroyers and that had come down there, that was going back to Singapore, and we commandeered a LST, a landing craft, unofficial. We just took it over, what had landed the troops. Then we got on board there, and we got, one to the captain, navigator, and we all picked different jobs for ourselves to do, butcher and all that on board, to make our way back to Singapore.
On the LSD.
On the LSD, yeah.
LSD, yeah, sorry. And what happened then?
Well, when we got back there, we see that the Sussex had got their back before us. She was at anchor. So right away we ditched the LSD, made a signal to the Sussex, where it all went back on board, and got our usual positions on the ship was, back, as I thought. I wasn't on there 24 hours when I got a draft ashore. Because my demob has been up in England. I had to go ashore to get passage back to England. And that was a mix-up all round, that was. The Sussex was home before I was. I went ashore into the barracks here.
When would this be? September?
The salt dinner. Is that now? No. Later than that.
46?
Yeah, I'm 46, yeah. Yeah, after Christmas. We've got a bottle of beer up there for Christmas. Yeah. Yeah.
What did you do ashore?
Oh, well, they put us in long hats. Just to lay our hammocks on the floor and that. And the main building, I think Miss Soldon, I think it was called. The main building, we went up to have our food and just sort of wait there. And while I was there, one of the chaps come up to me and said, your name's up on the board up there. I said, oh, yeah? What have I got? It turned out that I'd been mentioned in dispatches by the skipper for the action in Penang. They were shooting the jet planes down. So very chuffed.
What were you doing? I mean, did you have any duties at Singapore?
No. Yeah. Well, what they call duties, each morning we used to go down, the people waiting for drafts, we'd go down a line up. There was about 14 of us and about 60, 70 Chinese labourers. And we was giving jobs. I shouldn't put that in my book, really. As the jobs came up, you was detailed, like, six Chinamen will go with you. You are to go down to into the town and clean so-and-so or paint so-and-so. And it came to me, and I was given a lorry with eight Chinamen. I was to go on and start the SEAC headquarters up for them, because the SEAC headquarters was in Colombo, Sri Lanka, as we know it, you know. They were going to move down into Singapore. So they asked me to go down there and straighten it all out. And I was the only one there, only Matlow. So I got the lorry. We found the place. It's right inland from Singapore. There's one big block of flats, high flats, about, I think, about five, six stories high. And all round were bungalows. And that was for officers, the bungalows. Flats were for the Wrens and the ATS and all that. So I'll get this cracking, start putting nets up, mosquito nets for them. That was my job. Each day to go up there and put mosquito nets. And I also went out, had to go over. The officer said we got nowhere to hang our clothes and that, so I had a chat with the officer down on the main officer. They said, well, there is some wardrobes out at in Malaya. So, oh my God, how am I going to get there? So I got a chat with my Indian driver. I said, can we make your way out to Kuala Lumpur. Kuala Lumpur, wasn't it? Yeah. I think I've got it in my book. Kuala Lumpur, wasn't it? I went, yeah. And we got to there. I got in touch with a petty officer there. He showed me where all these wardrobes were. And, of course, the Chinaman, you know what Chinaman, they don't like work. He's going high when I used to try and find a way to rake them out. But they wouldn't load them because they had nothing to eat because it was a long journey from Singapore up to Kuala Lumpur. Anyway, I went into the naval mess deck there, and one of the petty officers said, well, all we've got is these tiddly-oggies. And I thought, China don't like it. But I promised them that when I got back that I would like a double extra of rice for them. So they loaded the wardrobes up, about 30, 40 wardrobes I bought back on a lorry, you know, long lorry it was, and put them up in for the Wrens. They were very appreciated. I used to love me going there in the mornings. As soon as I got in there, you'd say, come on, breakfast. They used to take me down for breakfast. So all the officers sitting there and everything, I'm the only Matlow there, what are they? And as this is not going on a film, that you were all in your handies and that when I used to arrive in the morning. I done it on purpose, I think.
So what happened next then?
I done it for, I think I was up there for about a fortnight doing that job. Chinese used to fight each morning. You see them fighting in the road to get it opposite me, so they could be picked each time. Because I used to say, go on, clear that rubbish up all around there, cut that grass. I'll find around the back playing mahjong. I was just potting around inside, you know. Men in their nets and all that, where they kicked out during the night. And I had one turnout idea with a couple of pongos. I don't know if I put him on foot, did I? I went down to the main bungalow, a big bungalow. The commanding officer was having it, you know, for the Wrens was taking that over. So I went down to see if everything was all right. When I got down, I thought I didn't know where I put it in the book or not.
Carry on.
There's two squaddies outside smoking. And I said, well, what's going on? Is there a couple of Japs in there? I said, couple of Japs, what are you doing? So I walks in, and these two Japs sitting there, large as life, smoking away. I said, oi, up, you know, on your feet, get out. Because I kicked them out. I said, Squid, what are they? He said, we were told to bring them down here. What it was the, I think she was a lieutenant commander, 2.5 ringer, if I remember rightly, or 2 ringer. She wanted to find out where the water stops were. And these two were like surveyors, I was saying, you know, the Japs. Oh, well, I was wrong. I kicked them out. She was going to report me to her admiral, so I said, I couldn't care what you know. I said, our boat's still fighting out there, and they're sitting there smoking. Oh, you really got me, they like, did. I could have put my, I did put my boot up one of them. I can't believe it.
So, what happened next then?
Oh, from then on, we're going on now. We're finished now. After about 3 days, I see my name up for demob, an HMS Cleopatra. I could have dropped when I see that ship there, because she's a real puffer ship, I tell you, the Cleopatra was, RN. Yeah, he even had his painting ship coming home in their uniform. You won't believe it, this commander, Jimmy. We come up like through the Suez, Gibraltar, up to Portsmouth. I'm a Chatham maiden. So us Chatham maidens had to, were put on the barge to go ashore. The air was blue at the time. You could just imagine about that commander. He couldn't shout at us back because we was away from the ship. And put ashore there, train, and arrived back at Chatham. Where they rushed us through very quick, because I was way behind, 6 months behind where I should have been. And
when did you finally get out then?
April. 46. April 46. Yeah, so went straight down into the gym hall. They paid me out, money wise. Took me gear that I'd owned, and like duck suits and what have you, and a hammock, and put me on a lorry up to the train station, and I went home on leave.
So what did you do then? I mean, were you getting back into civilian life?
I never civilian. No, I know I'll get my job back. My job was held open for me.
That was at the tar place.
Yeah.
What did you want to go back after all the experiences?
Not really, but. There was nothing else we could do about it, you know, work-wise and that.
Were you on the same job as you'd been on? Because you'd been a young lad then. Now you were an old man, but you were an experienced man.
I didn't go back on the same job to start with. I did after a time. I done odd jobs. I done odd jobs down there, like tanking, loading tankers and all that, you know, until I get back on with, onto the job that I wanted to go back on.
Which was?
Which Barrel. The Coopering side.
At Alden's Wharf?
At Alden's Wharf, yeah. I went back to there.
Now, so how long did you, so you stayed there then? You stayed with the, with that?
No, after a few years, as you know, the money was very, very tight and that. I just had like my boy and that. I went shift work. I took over shift because it was about £2 or £3 more a
shift
week.
Shift work at the same place?
At the same place, on different jobs, you know.
Now, how had the war affected you, you think, mentally, physically, good or bad?
Well, I mean, my mind's full of all this, which I shouldn't have. I can't help thinking of my mates of a night and all that. I still think of them. Must have made an impact on me. Well, I still think and pray for them every night. It comes to me, I lay there one night before I go to sleep, and I'm thinking of the ships and all that. It's still back every night.
Do you actually have nightmares?
No, I don't have nightmares. I have dreams, but not...
Have you had any help, or have you needed any help, do you think? Would it have helped?
I've never gone to... I've been too independent, like.
And what about physically? Are you all right in yourself? Any after effects?
No, I don't think so. Not physically. Now I am. I mean, I'm 80 now, but I've lost a hell of a lot of weight now because of my wife, you know. I do everything. I wash, iron, clean, I do everything. I don't. Well,
you know, you're still in touch with the Bullen, old comrade?
I'm in touch with all my old ships, Sussex.
Is that important to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I go to all the reunions, but I've not been able to go for the last 2 years because of the wife. I can't leave the wife. But I've been to all of them since, you know.
Did you recognise people?
Some you can, some you can't.
And you, it's important to you to keep up these links, then?
I think so. I go to all of them. I mean, I'm the vice chairman of the RNA, a number one branch. In fact, I'll be out next week. Every Wednesday we meet. I'll get someone to look after while I go up there. I go on the Blackheath. I've been in the Blackheath. The Clarendon. That's where we meet every month, on the Clarendon.
Thank you very much.